Today I want to explore the situation of a person in the Bible that we commonly refer to as Doubting Thomas. There are 11 references in Scripture to Thomas, and he was an early disciple, one of the 12 of Jesus, that was closely with him for 3 years. So he knew him well. They ate together. They slept often in the same places. They traveled together. And Thomas is mentioned in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and several times in John. I'd like you to turn to John 20, and we'll just look at a little bit of background in John 20. And the background of this is after the crucifixion of Jesus, and in John 20, it tells us that Mary went to the tomb and it was empty. Well, this is not common when you go to a tomb and somebody died and they're not there. And so she found that nobody had taken him out. And if we read on in John 20, we come to, of course, Jesus then met Mary in the garden, and then said in verse 17, "Don't cling to me, I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to the brethren and say them that I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, and to my God and your God." In other words, tell the disciples that I've risen and I'll be gone for a bit. And verse 18, "And Mary Magdalene told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and he had spoken these things to her." Now, it doesn't say that she told all of them, but she told his disciples. And then in verse 19, "The same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Hey, if they killed Jesus, how much more could they be killed? So they were worried. And then, to their shock, I presume, and surprise, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 20, when he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. And of course, his hands were nailed to the crucifixion to the beam, and his side where it was pierced with a sword. So he was demonstrating to them, yep, this is really me. And the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. Now, so we're going to go ahead because Thomas, as is commonly referred to, was a doubter. But as we'll first learn to understand that if we take a look then in John 20 and verses 19 and 20, that Jesus showed the disciples his hands and side, but it doesn't say all of the disciples. Okay, so we'll read on. And then in verse 24 and 25, now Thomas, Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And he, Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I won't believe." Well, hence people call him Doubting Thomas because he said, I'm not going to believe that. Why would Thomas say something like that? Well, I want to give you a little background here as to the story of Thomas. And to give you that background, I'm going to use my own family. I have a set of twin daughters. And I found out they were going to be twins when they were 12 weeks in the embryonic stage. Didn't know they would both be girls. Didn't know if there's two girls, two boys, one girl and one boy. Just didn't know. They said, well, later on, ultrasound said 70% chance they'll both be girls. Okay. Well, then, but that's not 100%. So went off to the hospital and I packed a bag for baby clothes, one bag. I said, well, we know for sure one of them's going to be a girl. I mean, so I'll pack a pink little outfit for a baby and I'll pack a green one for the second one. And then I'll pack a blue outfit in case there's a boy that shows up. So if there's two girls, I got pink and green. And if there's two boys, I got blue and green, and it'll all be covered. It won't be embarrassing for me. So off they went. And of course the hospital considered, or the midwifery center said, hey, it's a high-risk pregnancy because mother's over 35 and it's twins, so there's two reasons you got to go to the hospital. All the other kids were not born in the hospital. And the insurance company said, oh, high risk, you got to go to the hospital. So we're going to go to the hospital. So I paid for the obstetrician to stand there and watch the midwife deliver the babies. So I get to pay them both. And everything was fine. And the and delivery was fine. And, of course, now I had to dress the babies. And so, they're twins. And they looked identical. So I said, well, what we'll do is we'll always dress one of them in pink. Something pink. And the other one, any other color but pink. So that ought to help, right? Because you don't want to mix them up. Otherwise, who's going to know right off the bat? I mean, it's good. They'll have, they got footprints, you're going to, or handprints, you're going to look at those. So we dressed that color scheme, and that kind of worked out for quite a while because nobody else in the family could tell the difference either. I said, look for pink. One of them will have pink socks, pink outfit, something pink on it. The other one will never have pink on it. And that worked out. So off to school they went at some point. Which one's wearing the pink? Now, one had red. That can deceive you if you're not sure. But there they were. And then, of course, I sent them off to summer camp. They went to camp in Texas. Now, I wasn't there, but they were. Now, which one is which? I couldn't tell you by this picture. And I asked how camp went. And they said, well, camp was fine, except that there were two sets of identical twin girls at camp and two sets of identical twin boys. And I said, well, that had to be confusing. They said, yeah, everybody was having a nervous breakdown because they didn't know who they talked to last. They would start a conversation with one person, think it was the same one, and then try to continue it. And the other one had never met them before. So you have this this issue. And, of course, this is at the Scandinavian Festival up in Junction City, Oregon. They both dress, but you'll notice one has some pink on. They came here when they and so you can get a little close-up. Which one is which? Well, I couldn't tell you either unless we had some kind of code or something going on. We go to a wedding, and they will dress appropriately, but one of them is in pink, you will notice. And then there was their sister got married, another sister got married, and she had a color scheme for bridesmaids. So one of them wore a flower so you could tell which one was which at that situation. So we have the twins, and to show you close up how hard it is to tell, which one is which. And the issue comes, well, after a while, well, those are the twins. So I'm going to show you the next picture. These are not twins. That's a different sister. So which one is the twin and which one is not the twin? You see the challenge. Some of you may have met these, but this is a challenge. Same eye color, hair color, close look. Well, so let's go then back to Thomas Didymus. And Didymus is the Greek term for twin. Thomas, the disciple of Christ, was a twin. Now, along the way, of course, my darling little girls, and they went to school, I found this out after graduation. They didn't tell me till after graduation from high school. And they said, well, the school would never put them in the same class. So they took a different schedule, but if one took a test in the morning, I found out after they graduated, they said, well, sometimes we would just switch clothes and the same girl would take a test in the afternoon, the same test so we could do better, calling ourselves the other name. Now, they responded to either name until they figured out who they were, until they were 4 or 5 years old. But they could pull a fast one, riding down the highway, on a road trip, and I'm sitting with one girl and teenager in the front, and we're chatting away, and we made a rest stop. Then we jump in the car and keep going, and I continued the conversation, and I got this strange look. Dad, you know we switch places, right? And I said, well, how am I supposed to know? Well, we're wearing different shoes. I guess I wasn't watching those details. So it was a challenge at that point as to which one was really which. And you'd think that somebody was that were close would really know them. Now, Thomas spent 3 years with Jesus. You'd think he would know him, right? But Thomas, the word didymus means twin. Thomas himself was a twin. And what was he? He was there in Luke 21, verse 8. He was there when Jesus said, take heed that you be not be deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. The time is drawn near. Please do not go after them. In other words, the deceivers. Don't be deceived. Thomas was there. He heard Jesus say that, warning him to don't be deceived. Thomas was there in Matthew 24:24, when Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Who's the very elect? Well, I would suggest that the 12 disciples were the very elect that traveled with Jesus for 3 years. They would know him very well, so it's possible even they could be deceived. But Jesus continually warned them about being deception. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:13 that deception isn't going to stop. It's going to keep on going right in as he speaks there of in the end times. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, we've seen that throughout time where people have claimed to be the reincarnate Jesus or a Messiah of some sort in various religions over the years. But let's go back to John 20, where we left off, in John chapter 20. And after 8 days, John 20, verse 26, after 8 days, Jesus' disciples were again inside with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut. In other words, it was a closed room, stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. And he, Jesus, said to Thomas, reach your fingers here, look at my hands, and reach your hands here, put in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. He recognized who it was. Now there was no question as to who it was. Well, you say, well, he should have at least known that. Well, what did Thomas know? How many brothers did Jesus have? There are four brothers that we know of that were listed, and there has to be at least two sisters because it says he had sisters. That means there's five brothers. That means there's likely a family resemblance when we take a look at at the family. And Thomas may have pulled the same shenanigans that other twins did. We don't know that. But there was a reason that he wanted more proof rather than just somebody else saying something. Mary Magdalene told the other disciples, and then Jesus showed his proof with his hands and his side. Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas said, until I have that same experience, I'm not ready to believe. And then Thomas had the experience. So, verse 29 in John 20, Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet not believed. Who's Jesus talking about? He's talking about those that would come dozens of years, hundreds of years, 2,000 years later, because we aren't there to examine the nail prints in the hand, to see the spear that was wound that was thrust into the side. And so he's saying that we don't have the same level of evidence, but we don't just have to take one person's word for it. The disciples at first, you know, were taking Mary Magdalene's word for it, and they thought it was nonsense. And then Jesus showed them the evidence and later showed Thomas. That's normal. People just don't get up out of the grave and walk around. And so there was a reasonable doubt. Is this really happening now? And so Jesus warned them ahead, don't be deceived. They were not going to be deceived. Thomas sure wasn't going to be deceived because he grew up in that environment as a twin. But now we look at so many years later where we don't have that firsthand experience. We've only got third-hand experience, and people have written, witnesses have written about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Well, what can we learn about this? We can learn what our responsibility is. In Acts 17, verse 11, and this is the apostles are going out and they're preaching. And of course, who's going to believe them? They're preaching. And so people want proof. And in this case, Acts 17, 11, the Bereans were the next stop on this apostolic trip, and said they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. What's fair-minded? Meaning receptive of the gospel. Receptive. However, they weren't faithless. They weren't doubtful. But what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things be so. So they weren't just going to take somebody's, because what did Jesus say repeatedly? Don't be deceived. There's going to be people coming for the deception. And where did they receive the word with readiness? They were willing to understand. They wanted more of the truth. But then they wanted evidence, just like Thomas did. And we really should consider honoring Thomas, who wanted the proof. And if we just go by what somebody else says, isn't that what Jesus warned us about? He didn't say, oh, read a paper, read a document, and then go by what somebody else wrote. What did it say? It's like the Bereans. Search the scriptures to see what is so. So our responsibility is really defined by this experience that Thomas has. So rather than calling him Doubting Thomas, which he is commonly done now for, what, almost 2,000 years, is really, he's a responsible Thomas wanting proof of what has occurred. Proof of what? The most remarkable event in human history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. So let's embrace Acts 17:11. Let's make sure that we, each of us, receive the word in all readiness and then search the scriptures, not once in a while, not from month to month or year to year, daily, to find out whether these things were so, and put our hearts where Jesus told us to, and avoid being deceived.